The Gospel of Jesus Christ is recorded in the book of Matthew. I invite you to listen for the Word of God. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For I truly tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law till it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said in those ancient times, "You shall not murder." And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or a sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gifts. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone that looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on grounds of unchastity causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to those in ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. The Reverend Carol Howard Merritt and I share at least one thing in common. We both grew up in ultra-conservative faith communities. Carol went on to attend a fundamentalist college where she encountered a woman in her dorm who was bulimic. Carol writes, "The common refrigerator became a ground of major tension. I would go out on a date and I would have a fabulous meal. I would carefully eat only half of my entree so that I can enjoy the rest of it the next day for lunch. But when I would open up the door to the fridge, anticipating the content of that doggy bag, the leftovers would be gone, along with anything else that might have been edible in the icebox. Then much drama would ensue. Until one particular morning. I woke up, I went to the kitchen to fetch some milk for my coffee, and I gasped. Someone had taped a sign to the refrigerator. In bold red letters, it says, "If your hand causes you to sin, And then in capital letters, it said, "Cut it off." Then carefully taped to the sign was a fierce, serrated, edged knife. It was at that moment that Carol began to question the literal interpretation of Scripture. For the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at arguably the greatest sermon ever preached. Of course, it ought to be the greatest sermon ever preached. It was preached by God with us, Jesus. We looked at what most people call the Beatitudes and saw that God honors those who the powerful of this world honors least, the merciful, the peacemakers, those in pain and want, those who strive to embody faith, hope, and love. We heard Jesus call those who follow him salt and light. And we noted that Jesus didn't say, "You will be salt and light if," or "You ought to be salt and light," as if there were some sort of an entrance exam that we had to pass in order to become salt and light. But that God created in each and every one of us the ability to flavor the world and illuminate good news. It's as if we were like the students in Dangerous Minds. We'd all been given A's, and it was just up to us to hang on to them. A little girl went to visit her grandparents one Sunday. Her grandparents were the old-fashioned type who took very seriously Sunday as the Lord's Day. They did what they thought was necessary to keep it holy. They thought that it should be a day of quietness, a day to walk, not run, a day on which only the Bible should be read. It was not a day for swinging on the tire that hung from the giant oak tree in the front yard, nor was it a day for gathering flowers growing in the pasture. While Grandpa was taking a nap, the little girl asked and got permission to walk to the gate. Along the fence, she stopped and looked at the old mule standing there with his head bowed and his eyes closed, reaching through the fence and rubbing his forehead. She said, "Poor old fella, have you got religion too?" Sadly, that's how many people view Christianity, just a set of rules to take all the fun out of life. Worse yet, they see us as a bunch of rule-based intolerance, with thin blue lips, narrow-minded, judgmental, holier-than-thou. They're turned off by the legalism spewed by many of the most visible of those who like to claim that they speak for Jesus. Even sadder is the fact that many of those who claim the name Christian believe that legalism is a virtue. History knows no better masters of the art of legalism than the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day, unless it would be the scribes and Pharisees of our own day. The scribes in particular claimed to have the inside track on God's will. They were the professionals, lawyers who interpreted Scripture to work out the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots that were binding on all devout Jews. The Pharisees were a sect of laymen, and they were laymen committed to the keeping of these laws. For the most part, these folks were not bad people. It's just in their zeal to keep the letter of the law, somehow they missed the mark. Jesus must have been a thorn in the side of those legalists, since he had an annoying habit of violating their interpretations publicly and preaching against them. He flunked his Dale Carnegie course by tagging the scribes and Pharisees as hypocrites and whitewashed tombs. The truth of the matter is that Jesus set a higher standard. His life would show how to fulfill the law. Jesus was the original lifestyle evangelist. Jesus demonstrated how the scribes and the Pharisees failed to take the law far enough, how they totally missed the spirit of the law. And needless to say, this did not play well with the religious elite. It must have stunned those on the mountainside. People thought that these scribes and Pharisees were the very pillars of Jewish society and religion, the moral, the upright. As one seminary professor put it, they were the kind of people you would want your daughter to marry. They were Israel's best, the cream of the crop. But Jesus said they weren't God's best. Ouch. Lifestyle evangelism is one of the big buzz phrases. The gist of lifestyle evangelism is that how you act communicates what you believe. And there is certainly truth in that. And the big question for anyone who wants to live out their saltiness is, does my lifestyle illuminate God? Does it illuminate God that I do not murder? I don't have any statistics to back me up, but my guess is that the majority of Buddhists don't murder. My guess is that the majority of agnostics do not murder. I'd even bet that the majority of atheists do not murder. So I ask, how does my non-murdering illuminate my belief in God? We have a saying, if looks could kill. My first wife used to say, if I felt like you look, John, you would be dead. Apparently, I fell short of the higher standard. Clearly, we can reveal our hearts without actually acting. What would it say if I refused to respond to others in anger, even when justified? What if resentment played no part in my life? What if I let go to any temptation to haul someone over the coals or to call them names? Might that not communicate that there's something more going on inside of me than just good citizenship or a fear of punishment? Interestingly, in Jesus' discussion of anger, the assumption is that someone else has a grievance with me. I may be harboring no ill will at all. It's the other person who has hard feelings aimed at me, and yet I am to take the initiative in healing our rift. Now, you've got to admit, my friends, that that's going to communicate that there's something going on inside of me that is outside of the ordinary. Does it illuminate God that I engage in no physical act of adultery? Again, I have no statistics, but my guess is that there's just as much fooling around, if not more, in the Christian world than in the Muslim world, or among unity adherents, or those with no religious affiliation whatsoever. So how does marital infidelity not illuminate? How does my marital fidelity illuminate my belief in God? Adultery may be an act that is culminated in the bedroom, but it's conceived in the heart. I'm no proponent of government censorship, but I certainly am a proponent of self-censorship. In our age, sex is exploited to sell everything from automobiles to toilet paper. Potency pills are hawked in prime time. Movies and televisions deliberately appeal to lusts of the eye. We virtually cannot avoid it. Legalism looks at the rules. Christian liberty looks at the principles behind the rules. Open relationships, objectifying women, depending on outside stimuli, seldom augurs well for the relationship between two committed people. And relationship and commitment are two things about which God cares deeply. too deeply for us to be casual about it in our own lives. You may have seen the new Bank of Citibank commercials where the gist of it is that everyone is telling the truth to one another. A young man and young woman are ending their first date, and the young woman says, "Will you call me?" And he says, "No, I'll probably text you in just a couple of days." And she said, "And then I'll wait a couple of more days, and then I'll return it to you." And then she says, "We're not going to see each other again, are we?" And he says, "No, we're not." And then there's this one.
Over there's good.
So how much longer do you think this will take?
I'll over-explain the process, then give you an unrealistic timeline.
I'll nod in agreement so my wife thinks I understand what you're saying.
I look forward to questioning your every move.
Okay, well, I'll leave your house in shambles and disappear for 6 months.
Wouldn't it be great if everyone said what they meant? The Citi Double Cash Card does. It lets you earn double cash back, 1% when you buy and 1% as you pay.
Wouldn't it be great if everyone told the truth? If everyone said what they meant? I got to tell you, I don't believe Citibank anymore after listening to that ad than I did before I saw the ad. If you watch cable news, you might have asked yourself, why is it so difficult to get a straight answer to any questions? What exactly is an alternative fact? What shall we do when categorical denials become "I don't remember"? Would any of those examples I've asked about be more believable if people had begun with, "I swear to God"? Jesus isn't interested in word games, however clever they may be. He's interested in people being reliable and trustworthy in everything that they do. What comes out of our mouths is a reflection of what is in our hearts. Be perfect, the text tells us, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. An impossible task. That word also means whole or complete. To me, it says, have integrity. Seek integrity in your actions, in your words, in everything that you do. Jesus stood within his own heritage, but he did not let religion or national zeal blind him to distortion and falsifications. So it was that he looked to tradition to warn about interpretations that violated both the intent and the spirit of the law. His mission, he said, was not one of abolition but completion, and those that would follow him exhibit such a mission in their behavior and relationship. Anyone who appeals to faith and freedom in Christ to do less, to be less, to give less, to serve less, to love less, has grossly misunderstood Jesus' message. Amen.